I'm now thinking we did go to BJ school.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sneaky Dragon. My name is David Dedrick.
I'm Ian Boothby.
And this is the all-important divisible by five episode, 225.
225. So you divide it by five, you get?
You get 225.
Okay. Divided by that by five, you get?
You get carry the four. You get 225.
Very good.
Thank you.
And it's also a double prime number.
What is a double prime number?
It's the most delicious type of meat you can get, double prime.
Oh.
Yeah. So cook that meat at 225 degrees for 3 days.
Sure.
Leave the house.
Yep.
Don't look at it. If you look at it, ruins it. And you will have the most delicious meat that you could ever feed to your dog. So, do not eat it yourself. It is only for dogs.
If you have double prime lamb, do you use double mint?
Yes.
Mm, nice.
Nice. I like it. Well done. Boom. Right off to... okay, start. David, have you gotten any sun lately? Let me ask you this question. Have you had any sun lately? Because you look like you've felt the burn. Am I right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Have you felt the burn, Dave?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Feeling the burn.
Feeling the burn.
You went down to the States and you felt the burn.
You think I could? Yes, I did go down to the States to feel the burn. I did.
What'd you do? Tell me about it.
Well, it was Sunday morning. Lisa, my beautiful wife, said to me,
to heck with church.
We went to church. She said, hey, you know, why don't we go down to see Bernie Sanders today? And I said, okay.
Thinking she said Colonel Sanders.
Well, that's a different story. she said, I said, Colonel Sanders in the morning? Really, sir?
Colonel Sanders in the morning.
And so I said, yeah, that sounds fun. But it's Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to sing with my choir because I'm a dork. And I got to sing because we are doing what we call an anthem, meaning the choir sings by itself, the sings to the congregation.
Okay.
And so it was my time to shine. No, it was, I'm obligated to show up since I'm in the choir. So we couldn't go early.
Right.
So we went across at noon and drove down, which actually worked out perfectly because we hit construction and a car accident. I don't think we could have asked for a better trip. What was funny, though, is when we went through at the border, it's funny that you say Colonel Sanders, because when I went through, they said, where are you going to see? And I said, we're going to see Bernie Sanders. And the guy said, what did he say? So we're going to see Bernie Sanders. He goes, oh, okay. You're going all the way down to Seattle to see Bernie Sanders. I said, yeah. He goes, at the Key Arena. I said, yeah. He knows all the facts. Why is he surprised?
Yeah.
So he led us across. Which,
you say you're going to buy some Sanders.
Yeah.
So you're going to go to the hardware store, pick up some Sanders. That makes
that's
sense.
Right. Okay. So after we drove out away from the border guy, I said to Lisa, I said, do you think he thought we said Colonel Sanders? And he was surprised. Like, we're down to see, you know, he's dead. You know that, right?
Right. Yeah. If Bernie does get elected, he will outrank Colonel Sanders.
Finally.
Right now, Colonel Sanders is the highest ranking Sanders.
He is dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't lose your rank when you die, do you?
Yes, you do.
Do you?
Yes, you do.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah, you do.
So Abraham Lincoln loses no one can go, that was President Lincoln. Nope, no more.
That's right.
It's done.
Yeah.
General Patton. Just Patton. Call him Patton. Don't you dare call him general. He's dead.
Well, I mean, he was a general, yes, but
if a general dies, say, on the battlefield, not that he would be on the battlefield, they would just tear the medals and stripes off him.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's going to be stripes. Stars. And just chuck him in the ditch.
No.
Get rid of him. He's no longer that.
Yeah.
That belongs...
But what I'm saying is, if you are still alive,
right,
you outrank someone who's dead.
So if Captain Crunch dies...
yes.
They have to remove all trace of his captainness,
and
it just becomes Steve Crunch, private citizen, and dead man.
When you pass him by, when you pass his dead corpse lying in a ditch,
I think clearly Captain Crunch is going to be buried at sea.
There's no
or in a bowl of milk.
But what I'm saying is,
and let's see how long he stays crispy.
If you allow me to finish my words,
I know.
I'm saying is, there's no need to salute. He is dead. You don't walk by the coffin. I guess you do actually walk by the coffin and salute. Well, fuck it. I'm wrong. Anyway.
This has been a segment of the show we call, well, fuck it. Basically what happens is Dave talks for 5 minutes and then convinces himself that it was all bullshit, yells, well, fuck it, and we move on to the next thing. Anyway, so you're driving down across the... Now, you're driving with
your... It
was
fun while it lasted.
You're driving with Lisa across the border, having better luck than when we used to cross the border together.
Yes, that's true. There's nothing worse than crossing the border, two guys crossing the border. That is the biggest red flag, apparently, that's ever been. Every one of my friends, not just you, Other friends, other guy friends that I've gone across the border with, we have also been dragged into the office. You, however, are the only one who was turned back from the border.
Mm.
My other friends and I, we just had to wait an hour and then let us go on.
That was because we were sneaking Xeroxes across.
Yes, we had a contraband.
Okay, so you're driving.
We crossed. We went down. We drove down there, and this
you
was
picked up some beef jerky, probably, or some snack.
No,
you didn't have any snack on the way down.
No,
well, it's a bit of a drive without snack. Okay, go ahead. You keep driving.
So we drove down, and then we hit, like I said, we hit construction. That was nice. That was a good half hour there, and then almost into Seattle, almost near the bridge. You know, the bridge you crossed into Seattle, which I don't know what it's called. There was a car accident there, so that kind of slowed us down as well. But it was lucky because here's the thing. We got into line. We parked, paid for 2 hours.
It's good not to just drive the car into the line.
Well, yeah. You're right. That would be bad. Like drive right into Key Arena, down the steps, boom, 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 boom. Just parking this like you're at a drive-in to see Bernie Sanders.
So you believed in freedom. Why do you hate cars?
Is there a speaker we can hang on the window? And then
Buick's Lives Matter.
So then we got there. We parked. We paid for 2 hours, like I say, because we were late. We were there at 2:30. So I thought, it started at 2. He's already halfway through his speech. We're going to walk in and see a little bit of it, and then we're going to walk out. No. We get there. We were directed by these security guards to go down this way. And this is, we've been there, right? Mercer Center near the Space Needle. The Key Arena is part of that center there. And so we walked down into this covered area, and we were just standing there. And then we just stood there for a while, and people were like, well, we were over there, and they told us to come over here. We don't know what this line is. And other people are like, oh, we don't know what it is either. And then people come up and go, is this the line for secret? They're like, we don't know. We were over there, and then they told us to come over here. And so that went on for a while. And then volunteers would come.
Yeah.
And they apparently knew nothing. But maybe they wanted to seem important and act like they knew what they were doing.
Right.
And so then they would say to us, you're never getting in. You're not going to get in there. If I were you, I'd get out of line, I'd just go over there and walk and watch it on the big screen over there, because they had a big giant kind of billboard-sized screen up. And we listened to that, and we're like, well, to hell with that. I'm going to stay in line and see what happens. I don't want to get out of line. We drove down here, past a collision, which wasn't much of a collision, so that wasn't great. And waited in line for construction, and that wasn't great either. So we're going to see Bernie Sanders. So we stood there for a while longer, and then other people came along, gave help. So then we actually started moving down. The line started moving. And so we were there around, like I say, around 2:30. By 4:30, I said to Lisa, I'm going to go and put more money on the car because I don't want to get towed. So I walked off. By this time, I'd made fast friends with everyone around us in line. So as is my way, my chatty way. So everyone was like, well, we'll see. I just said to them, I'm sick of this. And I got it. I said, I'll wait 2 hours, but I'm not waiting anymore. And I just walked off. And then I think they said to Lisa, is he serious? No. So I went around, paid for like four more hours or something like that. Went back to the lineup, and they'd moved about 20 feet in the 15 minutes it took me to walk back and forth. And then, we kept creeping along. And one of the things that was interesting was a lunatic came and gave us a very important document. It was a closely typed Word document informing us about how his ex-wife, his angel that he fell in love with, and himself were being tormented by his mother-in-law, who had rare psychic abilities. Not your garden variety psychic abilities. Mm-hmm. Rare psychic abilities.
Okay, so what would be a rare psychic ability?
I have no idea.
You can only hear turtles' thoughts?
That was all that was mentioned about that, because then the rest of it was detailing...
Telekinesis, but you can only lift vegetables, not fruit?
That is rare. But there was detailing a lot of celebrities showing up and having sex with someone. A lot.
Okay.
And also involved someone whose name was Ms. Clever. Okay. I didn't go much farther with the document than that.
Ms. Clever, okay.
Yeah, in quotation. He had little air quotes around it. Ms. Clever, as I like to call her, he said. Ms. Clever. So anyway, he was handing those out to people in line. You know, it's a audience of people who have nothing to do.
They've hope these are Xeroxed line. And they weren't all hand-typed.
They probably were printed.
Okay, good. Let's hope that.
Yeah, yeah. They weren't. No. Like I say, they were a Word document.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, single-spaced, very densely.
Yes.
A lot of information. It said the very first part was the abstract. So it gave you like kind of a quick summary.
Sure.
And then it gave...
Abstract. I'm not well.
And then it gave, gave the long story.
Okay.
Then it said for the lawyers. And then it had for the newspaper, for the media.
Okay.
You know, stuff like that. It was very well done, except for the fact that it was absolutely batshit insane.
Oh, man.
But it was
And you didn't bring
fun.
It with you.
Lisa has it. I should have brought it with me. What the hell was I thinking?
Yeah. Dang. This is great.
Dang.
Okay, I want to hear about Ms. Clever.
Maybe next
figure
week.
This out.
Maybe next
Her
week.
Her sister, Mistake.
This will be Mistake. And so then we waited, like, I don't know. And then they said, so this is about 4:30 now. Yeah. And they told us that Bernie was going to talk at 5.
Ah.
It was supposed to be at 2, but they pushed it up to 5 just because of this long lineup, right?
That's rough for people who are already inside, I guess. Or worth
well,
the
people were just creeping in. Like, it was, because the problem was, is Secret Service was searching every single person that went in. So you had to go through metal detector.
Okay.
You had to empty your pockets. If you had a purse or knapsack or any sort of bag, you had to empty all the contents out and everything was gone through in the bag.
Right.
So it was pretty detailed search. So that was really slowing stuff down. Mm-hmm. And they basically had 2 machines. That was it. And yeah, at one point, this volunteer came by and said, anyone who has a bag, go up there. There's another line formed for bags and stuff like that. So then Lisa and then 2 ladies who were behind us who had bags, they left and walked up there. And then about 10 minutes later, they all came back again. They're like, there's no line. I don't know what the lady was talking about. That was weird. So we're okay. That's odd.
Do you think she was a ghost? That lady?
A ghost volunteer?
Yeah.
I don't know why.
And it was just talking about something that had happened somewhere out of the time, and she just kept repeating these actions.
Well, it could have been that, except for this part of the story.
Okay.
So then, because actually when we got closer again, mm-hmm. they came down and told us there was another bag line.
Okay.
And so once again, so they left, and they're like, are you guys going to come? And we're like, I'm not going, because we're in line. Like, what if this is like a fake again, and we don't want to lose our place? So we stayed in line. And then all these black cars pulled up. And the police and stuff like that came. And I guess Lisa was in line with these girls. And she goes, oh, that's Bernie Sanders here. And so they ran down to see him, like, get out of his car.
Okay.
Meanwhile, I was, like, faithfully holding the spot in line. I'm like, I'm not giving up my space in this line.
Absolutely.
But the problem was then is that it was Bernie Sanders. He came out. And as soon as people saw him, it was just, like, mad rush. So whatever line we were in, it was done. There was it. There was no line anymore. It became a glob. It just became this big amorphous mass. And everyone, like, pushed themselves over. And he talked for about a half an hour. Stood there and talked. He had a microphone. Obviously, didn't yell. Everyone, can you hear me? He had a microphone.
Has anyone seen my brother? He's got a document.
He's got a document.
That, we don't my want policies are loosely based on.
That's right. Yes, my wife, Ms. Clever, would like it back. And so
I was thinking Hillary Clinton was Ms. Clever, and I was thinking that she's very clever.
This was someone that he knew. It seemed to have nothing to do with politics. To be honest with you, to be honest, like it was pretty.
Gotcha.
Much. A rambling.
Just really quick, was the spelling okay?
It was actually pretty good spelling.
Yeah, I assume so.
Spell check.
I assume so. Yeah.
Spell check.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead.
I didn't read enough of it to like know if it was like using words that were spelt properly but in the wrong way. If
Understood.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
Yeah. So then, yeah, Bernie talked for quite a while, and then he left, and then I just stayed in line, and I went down the steps. So I was right near the door, and then you have that psychic moment, you know, that your wife is nearby. And so I turned and looked, and she was standing up on top of the stairs. Lisa was standing up there. And I was like, come on down, gesturing to her. She's like, no, I'm not, you know, going to cut in front of 500 people or whatever. I'm like, come on down. She's like, no. I'm like gesturing with both hands. Didn't even work. Not even both hands worked.
Oh, interesting. Did you try throwing a foot in there as well?
I just laid on my back, did a kind of pedaling motion with my feet. I will gesture with my hands.
That's clearly sunstroke. Okay.
What I did actually is I said to the, I just lied to the security guard. She came over to, she was collecting people's umbrellas. And I said, oh, my wife had to get out of line to go to the bathroom. Is it okay if she comes down? She's like, oh, sure. And she gestured. So then Lisa's like, oh, well, if the security guard's gesturing, it is not just my husband. Then I will come down.
Yeah.
So she walked down. And
meanwhile, you'd started the wave a couple of times.
That's right. People were like saying, whoa, Bernie. And so then she came down. And it took a while longer. And the speech had started by the time. So we got through the door. We were searched and everything. And then went through, ran into the arena. And there was a lot of people. There was a lot of people outside still. And there's a lot of people inside the arena. But it was still on the top. It was still empty because it was just taking so long to get people in.
Yeah.
And but Bernie talked for about 45 minutes, and it was pretty interesting. Pretty interesting to see him talking, and then that was it. He left the stage, and everyone cheered. And
did someone yell, "Do Freebird"?
That was me. You got it. You know, I yelled that one time at a talent show at my wife's high school. Some kids got on stage, and there was 3 guitar players. And I said to her, "Man, this is like Lynyrd Skynyrd just got on stage." So I yelled, "Do Freebird!" And they did. Seriously, they did Freebird. I was like, this is awesome. It's like I called it because there's 3 guitar players. You knew.
Give me $5.
That didn't work.
Okay, too bad.
But yeah. three guitar players, you know it's going to be Lynyrd Skynyrd.
I did my Freebird joke last week. Sorry, really quick. Well, I was doing a show with the Irrelevant Show folks, and it was not an official Irrelevant Show thing. They were just reading some of my sketches, and I was part of it. It was very fun. And then at the end, they threw it open to Q&A. It was mostly kids.
Yeah.
Okay. And so the kids raised their hand because they like to ask a question. And it's like, okay, well, you. Okay. Can you do Scooby-Doo? So I'm like, so someone tries a little bit of a Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, there we go. All right, because that's not really what we do. All right, next question. Do Barack Obama. It's like, well, we don't really do. Next one. Do the this guy from Lilo and Stitch. So I just like, I stepped out for a bit and went, do Freebird. Freebird.
It's a classic. Yeah. It's a classic. It's a classic song, and it's a classic, you know. You get the line,
some of the older folks got that joke. Yeah. Then we all sat around with our pipes.
They held, they held up their lighters.
Yep.
Waved them in the air.
And went like, "Why you got lighters? Who smokes anymore? What's going on? What's this all about?"
They didn't have
hold their, up their vapes and their phones.
They only have flip phones.
So flip phones and vapes.
You can't use flip phones as in place of lighters.
Well, you get smoke coming. Well, vapor coming out of the vape looks kind of good, I guess. Maybe if you had a glowing vape, that'd be all right.
That reminded me today at work.
While you were vaping.
A trucker came in today to pick up a load, and he two pipes is what we call him because he smokes.
Right.
He has two. Did I mention this in the show before?
Yes. Yeah, but I don't know on the show, but at least to me personally.
Yeah, yeah. One was Fruit Loop flavored, and the other one was some other sort of sweet smelling. I don't know what it was exactly.
But, right.
It's weird. You know, like we're working away, putting doors onto his truck, and he's standing there smoking, alternating between two different pipes or whatever they call those vaping things.
I just think like
vapors? What do they call it? What are they called?
The vape pipes, I think.
Okay.
They call it vaping. Yeah, I think just pipes, vape pipes, I believe. When I hear about the Fruit Loops flavor vape, I just think like, you know, sometimes they say like, oh, this causes cancer still. And just picture like when they look into the X-ray, you're going to see his lungs and they're all rainbow.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you got to touch of the rainbow cancer.
Yeah.
It's very pretty, but you got to get rid of it. It's not good. Still got to get out. Oh, two pipes.
Good old two pipes.
Like, you wonder when he crossed. Like, vaping, by the way, is pretty new.
Yeah.
So he went from one to two pipes real fast.
He did.
Like, he started with the one.
He learned.
I like it.
Yeah.
Two pipes. Really like it.
I like it more.
Probably tried three. He's went, fine. Who's fooling who? let's get rid of that. Back to two pipes.
Yeah.
And, you know, should I let people see me smoking the two pipes? Because this is embarrassing. And they might end up calling me two pipes.
Yeah, it's no problem.
And, in fact, that's how it went.
That's how it went. He demonstrated the two pipes. He became two pipes.
Right.
And that is how he is forevermore. Known as two pipes.
That's an interesting life. The trucking life.
Yeah.
You think you could do that kind of thing? Just sit in a truck and listening to music and driving?
No.
Really? Because you don't mind a long drive, right?
I do like a long drive, but I think I would find that, I don't know.
Peeing in a jar?
That really? Oh, well, now that you've said that, you've sold me. You sold me, sir. No, I don't think I would have I don't think I have the personality for it.
What kind of personality do you need to be driving?
Sedate. A sedate personality.
Okay.
I like to be active. I don't really like...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like sitting for too long. That's boring to me. So I need to do stuff.
Yeah, I was looking at an article about self-driving trucks. And how they think that might be a thing in the future, and how it will take jobs away from people, but will make things easier as well, because these trucks will be able to be faster.
Will they be faster?
Yeah, because you don't have to take breaks. The trucker has to go and have a sleep.
Oh, well, that's not what I think about in terms of faster.
What do you think? Oh, well, I mean,
I think of stupid trucks blocking the roads with their stupid slowness.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, like if I'm driving in the morning to work,
right.
If it's a heavy truck, like there's a lot of semi-trailers on the road, that means slow driving. Because what happens is people are in the fast lane.
Right.
They're zipping along.
Life in the fast lane.
Let's say
surely make you lose your mind.
Sure. Let's say we're all, I just love when you quote the Eagles, by the way. I love, so let's say we're all going the speed limit.
I had no idea that was the Eagles.
We're all in the fast lane. So we're all going 100, exactly 100.
Right. No one goes drive 55. Who did that song?
Sammy Hagar.
Okay, thanks.
No one can, and the only reason I know that is because there's the Minutemen album, Double Nickels on the Dime,
right?
Which shows, I think the bass player, Mike Watt, driving onto the freeway out of Encino, and he's driving over 55.
Uh-huh.
And they did that as a response to Sammy Hagar.
Very nice. Let me ask you this quick question before we get to what you're saying. Who'd win in a fight, Sammy Hagar or Hagar the Horrible?
Hagar the Horrible.
I think so. All right, moving on.
Well, unless Hagar the Horrible is just on a piece of paper, in which case Sammy Hagar could probably just tear it up.
Okay.
So maybe Sammy Hagar.
All right.
Fuck it, I'm wrong again.
That's all right. Continue.
So they're going 100.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a truck in the lane over beside it.
Sure.
Lane beside it. And they're going, let's say they're going 80 because they're having trouble going up the hill. They've hit the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're getting slow. So you're going 100. Now people are behind this truck and they're going 80.
Okay.
And they're like, I don't want to go 80. I want to go 100. So they, at 80 kilometers an hour, I should say, they pull over into the fast lane. But they're going 80. So the car going 100, he has to slow down to 80.
Okay.
So he brakes. And that causes a series of brakes, cars braking, until by the time you get to where you are, you've come to a complete stop. And you're like thinking, why are we stopped? We're on the freeway. And then you look, and there's no reason for being stopped. And then everyone slowly starts going again. And then you go up the hill, but much slower, because everyone is cutting into line to get around the truck. So when you say that to me, that trucks will be faster, I'm thinking, oh, maybe they'll be more efficient. They'll be able to gear up faster and down faster because they're driven by machines.
So, sure, yeah.
And they wouldn't be in the way. Also, they wouldn't do the classic trucker maneuver of one trucker being behind another, gets behind a slightly slower truck and goes, you know what? I should be in the fast lane. So then he pulls into the fast lane and then everybody's slow. And it's just slow on after that. Just no one's going nowhere. I'm very conscious of the things because I'm driving to work. And one thing I don't like about my work is that if I'm a minute late, I lose 10 minutes pay.
Oh, boo.
Yeah. So I got, and a minute late counts, punching in at 8 counts as being a minute late.
So you should be there at 7:59.
That's right. Yeah. But I'm usually there at 1:45, let's say, unless the truckers are on the road doing their thing, in which case it really slows down. Usually it's an accident.
So when's the next cutoff for
getting... 11 minutes. Then you're 20 minutes late.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe it's 10. I don't know.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah, it's kind of bad.
It is kind of bad.
I've never been that... Well, I guess I have been that late, yeah. Because this was last week. I was driving to... Or maybe the week before. A week before, I was driving to work. I was making great time, by the way. It's one of those things. A song came on that I love so much. I was happily singing the song to myself.
Okay.
There's no one else in the car. And then my phone rings. I see it's Lisa, my wife, calling. I'm like, oh, why is she calling? I answer the phone. Hi.
Which you shouldn't do in the car, right?
But it seemed kind of an emergency.
Okay.
I said, hi. I mean, I didn't answer, hold it up. I answered it hands-free.
Right.
I said, hi. She said, oh, hey there. Where are your car keys? Because I was driving my daughter's car, and she was going to take my car to work.
Because it would be funny if you then looked down and saw that you were still in the parking lot. And went, this was a good song.
So then, so in my driveway, I didn't even leave.
Yeah, driveway was what I meant, not parking lot.
Yeah,
because you do not live,
I don't
unless you live in an apartment building, in which case you would have a parking lot.
Yeah. But I have a driveway. Understood. So then...
Mr. Big Shot has a driveway.
So I look at my pocket. There are my keys. I was about 5 minutes from work, so I just drove to work.
Yeah.
Said to someone there, could you let my boss know that I will be back in about an hour? I have to take my keys home. So then I drive all the way back home again and then back to work, which is the worst drive on earth, by the way. That nothing worse than having to go back on your tracks. It's terrible. I really dislike when my daughters will be 10 minutes from home and they'll be like, oh, I forgot something.
Too bad.
You realize that's a 20-minute drive.
Yeah.
So
unless it's your medicine,
unless it's
and you need
emergency.
It to survive. Yeah. That hard cheese. Hard cheese.
Hard cheese.
Lesson learned.
Yes. Yes. But anyway, Bernie
now
Sanders
on the subject of truckers.
Mm.
You remember that show, the most famous trucker show there was, Johnny Trucker? No, that wasn't that. That wasn't called BJ and the Bear. Remember BJ and the Bear?
I do remember that show.
Okay, so it's a guy.
Greg Evigan.
Right, who I worked with later on a different show. He had a chimp, and the chimp and him went and they drove truck.
Went around and gave BJs.
Well, this is my question.
What kind of innocent time do we grow up in?
Exactly. Now, truckers are known for a couple of things, and one of them is that. The rules of the road, how do you get a free ride from a trucker, that kind of occurs.
Okay.
That is the trade that the truck stops, notoriously, things happen at truck stops.
I have changed my answer
okay.
on whether I want to be a trucker or not.
Okay, good. if there's a chimp involved. If there's a chimp, you would think it was this? The other thing that was in there. No, I don't just like, care about that. I didn't know you got a chimp with this.
Yeah, I didn't realize that at all.
Yeah, it was just like, it's strange that they would call a guy BJ back then, because that must still have been a slang term for that. Did everyone just think that was a thing? It was just a fun, there was no problem with BJ, that was fine?
Yeah, seemed odd, isn't it?
I guess so. You also had BJ Honeycutt. Mm-hmm. It was a big time for BJs, wasn't it? The Bee Gees were very popular. That's not a million miles away, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Who's the guy that sang Raindrops Keep Falling?
BJ Thomas.
BJ Thomas, also very popular. Yeah, good era for BJs, the old 70s.
It was, actually.
Try to think of a BJ now. You can't, and you won't. Doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen anymore.
No, nope. BJs ended in the 70s.
But it's kind of like with the when the Reform Party had their alliance with the conservatives. Mm-hmm. And their original name was the Conservative Reform Alliance Party. And that's what they announced. And then someone pointed out that it's spelled crap. And they quickly changed. And I think it kind of shows an innocence.
It's a, to carp. And they just rearranged a couple of things. And
Conservative Reform. At my Aldergrove, for the longest time, mm-hmm. and you can see it, you can go to the school and you can see from the very earliest days when it was the farm community and had 12 graduates. And you can see all the way to now. And you can see, at some point in the 80s, somebody realized that it was called Aldergrove Senior Secondary and what it spelled.
Yeah.
And they changed it to Aldergrove Community Secondary School.
Right.
And that
they changed it to BJ Secondary.
BJ Secondary School, that's right. And yeah, it's just weird. Like, how long did it take them to realize, this spells ass.
I'm now thinking we did go to BJ School.
Burnsview Junior.
Junior, yeah. Yeah, we did. There we go.
We did.
It's now not a junior school. Now it's an everything school.
Now it's just BS.
Now it goes all the way.
Now it's BS. Instead of being BJ, it's BS.
Yeah. Fair enough. I spent some time last week, it's all a blur, with a friend of the show, Michael Roberts.
Yes, I saw a picture of you guys looking very chummy.
Yes.
I was greatly jealous.
Yes, because we were scared and alone.
They're probably going to do their own podcast and cut me out.
No, it would have been okay. We would have had time to do a podcast. So we went to the Kelowna Fan Expo.
Yes.
All right.
The Colonial Fan Expo.
No, just Kelowna. It's fine.
That's a weird way to spell it.
And so we show up there. Now here's the thing that was strange.
Yeah.
First of all, an enormous amount of cartoonists now live there. Like, just live there.
Hmm.
They went there. They never came back. I don't know if it is
a really nice place.
It's a very beautiful place.
Yeah.
We walked to the venue.
And it's probably more affordable. Or it was probably more affordable.
I'm going to assume that's why they're there.
Yeah.
It's not just, this is gorgeous. Let's move
it's
here.
Pretty gorgeous.
Price is no object. Price is no object. Don't even tell me what the price is. I'll go there. I think it was like, what's the price? Yeah, I'm moving here.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
But it has that beautiful lake, Lake Okanagan, which is a pretty...
It is a very beautiful lake, with the lake comes mosquitoes. And we had the first mosquitoes of...
Right?
It was still wintertime. Like, it turned from winter to spring. And we were like walking by and I was like, what the hell? Mosquitoes?
Yeah.
What? What? And it was still really cold at night. And we're like, what happens with mosquitoes at night? Where do they go? They huddle up? Do they team up? What happens?
That's right.
You dumb mosquitoes, get out of here.
They go into your bedroom and fly around near your ear and bother you all night long.
Possibly. We didn't have any in our room, but we were very surprised by the mosquitoes.
I can do a pretty good mosquito imitation.
Oh, I'd love to hear
I don't
that.
Know if it would work on
okay,
the
let me just... Wait, before you do it, let me set it up.
I don't think you need to set it up.
No, I do need to set it up.
I
do need
to
set
it
up. No, I'm not. I'm going to. Here's
you're
what it is.
Blow it.
All right, everybody. Pretend that you're... Shut your eyes. Pretend you're trying to go to sleep.
Okay.
You got an early morning tomorrow, and this is what you hear in your room.
Okay. So it goes... You get that noise in it?
Yeah.
I hate that sound.
Now, could you do that mosquito doing Freebird?
That's hard to do. I don't really actually... It's one of those songs. I actually love that song quite a bit.
Yeah.
But I don't really know it very well. Like, I couldn't, like, sing it to myself. Like, if I leave here this morning, is that how it starts from that? It's basically like, just like, you know what? You're a great girl, but I'm leaving.
Will you still remember me? Okay.
Yeah.
Right. I want you to do it long enough that someone who likes it can make it their ringtone. So here we go. And also, please try not to laugh. Please try not to laugh.
Well, you're laughing your head off. So
I am. I'm gonna be very quiet. I'm gonna put my face into this cup so it will not hear me. All right. Here is enough of Freebird done by a mosquito.
I cannot do it.
To make it as your make it as your ringtone. Here we go.
Shoot. He laughed. You're wearing a cup. How can I?
Well, I need you for protection in this kind of environment.
Okay, you have a cup on your face.
Fine, I'll cover my face with my Shaw Bill. Here, go.
So, I don't know the song. I really don't
okay,
know.
Okay, that's enough. We're good. We tried.
I tried to do it.
The important thing was we gave it a try. So,
I can do Hey Jude.
As a mosquito?
Yeah.
Go. Okay. Could you do Oh Canada? Okay, now, Dave, do Oh Canada in French. Well, that's good French, mosquito. Nice.
Okay, that's enough.
For some reason, it seems a little longer. Why? It shouldn't be. Makes no sense. So. Now, it seems like you almost went Hey Jude into Oh Canada.
I did.
Hey Jude, Oh Canada, we stand on guard. For thee, remember to stand on God for thee. And you can, whatever. So, there's a video game. I'm going to get back to the con in just a second. Okay, sure. There's a video game called Mr. Mosquito that you might enjoy playing, where you are the mosquito, and it's a family, and I believe it's in Japan.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's like a daughter and I don't think there's a boy involved. I think it's like mostly sexy ladies. And so like ladies having a bath, and then you as the mosquito have to go and drain blood without her noticing.
Okay.
You got to kind of sneak up on her and just get a little bit of that blood and fill up the blood and then swoop around and there's no nudity. It's just, cheesecake. But it was a fairly popular game apparently.
Do you think that they like to fly around your ears, or it's just because it's quiet, it's nighttime, the ears are more sensitive, and so the sound of their wings is more noticeable?
I wonder if...
What's it about with the ear? Like, why are they there?
What I would assume is this. I think they're trying to get... Now, I'm going out on a limb here, but I think the mosquitoes want to get your blood.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they're looking for the best... Okay, so they're listening for your heartbeat. Well, they want heat, and they want, like, heartbeat. They want rhythm. Mm-hmm. And that means there's blood. And I think your ears probably have thin enough skin that if you're flying by them, you go, oh, I can really hear the heartbeat through there. If you're a mosquito doing your mosquito business.
Yeah.
And they land. By the way, we know people who know bugs. Sorry for calling the bugs. And they're going to let us know that I'm full of shit on this. But I would say, like, your ear would be a good place to, like, get a little bit of blood from, aside from the fact that you can hear, because it's fairly thin skin.
Yeah.
It's got good access.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that thick. Get yourself some blood. Also nice and warm. So, it seems like that's where you should get some blood from.
It's a theory.
Yeah. And if you're going for it, they can go, oh, fuck it, and just hide in your ear hole. And you know what? They stay there 7 years, raise a small family.
Yes.
Put the kids through college.
That's gross.
Then it's empty nest syndrome, and they leave. And they're like, I don't want to put this ear up on the mosquito market.
I don't.
And then they look at how much your ear is worth and just go, whoa, that's fantastic.
I don't like where this conversation's going. Yeah. I don't like that.
And then they move into a nostril. that's how it goes. So we're in Kelowna, and we see Michael, and we see some other people. We're thinking, like, how big is this thing?
Yeah.
And I still have no idea. Because they put us in this room that was facing the entrance doors to the theater. So things happened in the theater, right?
Yeah.
And then there was, like, this kind of almost like cul-de-sac, and there was maybe, like, eight of us there, maybe eight tables.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you had Michael was there, and he had his pictures there, and you had John Delaney, who's an artist for Simpsons and Futurama. He was doing drawings for people, very popular. Ed Brisson was there, very popular author, me and Pia, and then this group called, I am hesitant to say the name of this group, but they were a group that does, like, Gaijin songs, and they call themselves The Slants. I don't feel comfortable saying that name, but that's who they were. So that's who they are, and so, it's fine. So
they do Asian songs, is that what you said?
I guess so, yeah. Okay. It's a thing. You know, and look, hey, I don't feel comfortable saying that the doo-wops either, frankly.
Okay.
All right, but so anyway, we're all there, and people don't know really why we're there and what's going on. And so people who wander by, Everyone's nice, but it's not really clear why we're there or what's going on or what the situation is.
Yeah.
It's been going on for about 3 years. It's like, here's a warning sign. Well, by the way, and stuff's going on in other buildings, but we don't really know what's going on in the other buildings.
Okay.
But here's the warning sign, you know, for me and Pia when we do a con. And we love cons. We love everything. And preface.
Okay.
When we see more than four furries, and God bless you if you're a furry, we're in trouble. Because we go like, they're bad people, but this is probably not our type of con.
Okay.
You know, so there was a lot of that. Furries wanting hugs. I would leave a table and Pia would text me and go like, I've got a bunch of furries at my table.
You apparently are a furry, you are...
Connoisseur.
Not a connoisseur. No, you are a furry deterrent.
No, they still would come around me well. Okay. They would do that as well. Okay. And then a lot of people dressed in anime outfits. And you're like, okay, anime is a little bit of a different thing than the mainstream comics. So the type of stuff we're doing there, which is kind of alternative comics, not as much for them. The people that did know who we are were very happy to see us.
Yeah.
But that didn't happen as often as would normally. And we did okay. Yeah. We ended up doing okay. But it was still, this might not be the best fit. And so there's a lot of time that we got to spend doing other things at our tables.
Yeah. Well, so that's kind of fun too.
Yeah, I think Michael had a good time too. It's an odd thing to do. Like, I wish he'd brought like a demo reel or something of his work. He was sitting next to a woman named Kat, who is a really fun person, and they kind of bonded beforehand. We're all sitting around talking, and I brought up different shows, going, you know, saying, were you on this one, like the different Vancouver ones, and I brought up Once Upon a Time.
Okay.
And went, oh yeah, we did Once Upon a Time. And Michael had I believe he was turned into a snail by Rumpelstiltskin.
Okay.
And stepped on, so he was killed by Rumpelstiltskin. And
yeah.
She went, I was killed by Rumpelstiltskin. And her thing was, she was the fairy godmother from Cinderella, and Rumpelstiltskin killed her. So
that's a different version of the story.
Yeah. Well, this is how Once goes, brother. And so I was like, oh, you were both killed by Rumpelstiltskin. Oh, that would be a good thing to have on a video thing playing, or a good theme for a panel of just like killed by Rumpelstiltskin. And you could both talk about your experiences on the shows or that kind of stuff. Like, there was a lot of things where I kind of went, oh, I could see a good panel. If we put these two people together, they could talk about this.
Yeah.
There was a director there, Lisa Ovies, I believe is her last name. And she was doing, she had just wrapped up a film called Puppet Killer. That was, you know, a horror film about puppets and killing. And she was really, really nice. But I was asking, oh, you got clips to show? I was like, no, we have no clips yet. We're not ready to show any clips. But she still had to do a panel. And it was like all these, oh, well, you could do a thing with this over here. And we could talk about this. And we could, but no, wasn't any of that. Pia did a panel, and that was good. She did one with John Delaney and Ed. And they talked about breaking into the business.
Okay.
That was cool. I did a live thing with The Irrelevant Show where we read my superhero sketches. That was also a lot of fun.
Sure.
And the night before the con, The Irrelevant Show did a live show, and it just killed. So that was also really good to watch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And was that one recorded for the CBC?
They always record their how they do their shows.
Yeah.
And I saw them for the very first time a couple of days before in North Vancouver at the Centennial Theater, which is not made for tall people at all. So me and all the other tall guys were all sitting there giving each other the look of like, how you doing, brother? Yeah. I don't know. Eating your own knees? Sure am. This is not comfortable. Oh, who's got numb legs?
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that.
What year was this that we were all like stumpy-leged gentlemen?
Well, I have two thoughts about this. One is...
Tell me the second one first.
No. I'm not going to.
Okay, tell me it as a mosquito. Now, what if that mosquito found a theremin? What would that sound like? Oh, wait a second. Is he doing Star Trek?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. It's, the mosquito's a Star Trek fan.
Maybe.
Okay. Or who's the mosquito's favorite character on Star Trek? Really? That's a pretty deep cut. Okay, go ahead.
So, I have two theories. One
Nurse Chapel.
Yes. I have two theories. One is, not two theories, but two. One is...
This is on the small seats.
Small seats. One is that, okay, people were smaller then. But I don't actually think that. I think
people
were
the same size.
I think that people in those days were willing to put up with more bullshit. Because if you went to the old Empire Stadium here in Vancouver, which was the football stadium,
okay,
also the stadium where that guy ran the 4-minute mile and beat the other guy, you know what I'm talking about?
No, I do not know, but that sounds like a good story.
Yeah, it's really good. I wish I could remember their names because it's kind of famous. There's actually a statue of the two of them by the P&E entrance.
Oh, is that right? Those two guys?
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Roger Bannister. Bannister versus some other guy. Oh, I can't remember who it was.
Okay.
And the one made the mistake of looking back. He was winning, and he looked back,
right,
and the other guy passed him because he lost his momentum when he looked back. And I wish I could remember.
Looking back in anger.
Dr. Roger Bannister and the other guy. But anyway. So
who's the other guy that made that mistake of looking back? Orpheus? Is that who I'm thinking about?
Bob Dylan didn't. He said, don't look back. But, okay, Empire Stadium. So at Empire Stadium,
yeah,
there actually were seats that were behind a column. Like, there were big pillars that held up the roof of the place.
Right.
But they had seats that were behind them.
Yeah.
So you'd buy a seat, you would go sit down, and then you would be staring at a big piece of metal.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, turn your head, like,
yeah,
sideways, either way.
Through the whole thing.
Yeah. But you, how much would that make you popular with the people beside you? So I don't know what you did then. You just sat there and you went, what's happening? Like, what else?
I would say, you know what I would do with that? I would say, you turn it around and go, like, free seats for the blind. Want to come and listen to a baseball game for free?
I guess they could have.
We love people who are blind. How about Grandpa can't see, bad cataracts?
Yeah.
We'll give him some free tickets. He doesn't have to see nothing. We'll put him there. We'll give him a free hot dog as well. How about that? You're happy as a clam.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Only they didn't do that because apparently people paid for those seats and sat there quite happily. I don't know why.
Yeah. I assume they weren't season ticket holders and would be there through the whole season.
I don't know. That's weird. Like, you know, to be fair, when I went to the game when I was a kid, I paid, like, I would bring in Nelly's chip bag and pay the least amount of money you could pay to get in there. And then during the game, we would move out of that area and go
I understand.
Around. Yeah,
it feels like if you went to the
I can sit behind a pillar now.
An airplane and found out that your seat was not in the plane, but was like, you know, in the airport. And it's like, well, you're not going anywhere, but you got a real comfortable seat.
Yeah, that's basically it. There weren't even that comfortable seats because Empire Stadium was an old place and had the same problem with it, which was the seats were squished together.
Yeah, we were on the plane on the way back. We're getting our tickets, and the woman behind the counter goes, "Oh, and these are exit row seats." I'm like, "Oh, that's nice." So we get in there. They're not.
Yeah.
I'm like, "Well, there's no door here." And I was like, "We're told this was exit row." And the steward goes, "Oh no." So that was the whole story there. We didn't pay extra, so it wasn't that. But it was just like, "Well, why would you give us this business?"
Was it a jet that you flew on?
Oh, how do you mean? Like, it was.
Was it a jet or was it a prop plane?
Oh, it was a jet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It just seems weird, like, that you'd have that many people going.
We had quite a few people actually going to Kelowna. Yeah,
it's
popular.
Weird.
Everyone needs to move there because they can't afford houses here, so they're all going.
Oh, everyone's Oh, I agree with you there. Yeah, yes.
Yeah,
everyone does go there.
It did kind of make me think, like how much is it to fly here and back? How many times could you? Could you to Kelowna? Nah. And then, you know, you're talking about, like, well, how often during the year is it not safe to drive back here from there? And it's like, quite a bit.
Is that right?
Quite a bit, yeah. Even like, you know, now, they were like, there's some areas that are a bit dodgy.
Still, yeah, I imagine so, because the Coca-Cola, which is the kind of the freeway.
Everyone's on Coke. You're right.
Exactly. That's a problem.
Going, get out of my way, trucks! I got a great idea for a movie.
Driving too fast.
That's right. Got to get laid.
Yeah.
In Kelowna.
Yes. Our colonial city.
Got to get my Ogopogo on. Yeah, even Michael was saying, this is nothing to do with Michael, he wasn't on Coke, but he was saying, like, when he was driving, because there were very, very steep hills, he was like, yeah, I don't know how to do that. I wasn't sure what I was doing. I'm like, oh, that chills me to the bone. The idea of, like, driving, you know, that highway and, like, not knowing what you're doing. Even people knowing what they're doing freaked me out a little bit on that.
Why would he not know what he's doing?
Oh, when he was going up a hill. Like, he wasn't sure, like, what gear to shift into or what to do. Yeah.
In the snow?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
He just was talking generally about going up the hills.
Ah, okay.
Kate Bush style.
I've only driven it in the summer. I don't think I'd want to drive it in the winter.
No. I remember once we were on our way. I think we were on the way there. It was the only show, improv gig, that we went, no. And, like, we didn't all say no, but enough of us in the car went, no. Because we were driving, and it was a bad storm.
Yeah.
And we looked to the sides, and there was a considerable amount of cars, and not big trucks, but smaller trucks, in ditches off to the side. And it's like, how many of these do we have to see before we take it as some sort of omen that we shouldn't keep going? Because these people can drive too, you know. And like, yeah, it all went wrong. And we went like, no, fuck it, we're not doing the gig. Yeah. And a couple of people were really upset. We're like, no, we got to do it. No, we don't. We don't need to risk our goddamn lives for this gig. No, this is a risk, and that's bullshit. No, you know, there's a couple of things I'll risk my life for, not this, Jack. No, to go and do a freeze tag fucking scene. I like doing it. I'm fine with doing it. I'll do it, but I'm not doing that. Also, it's like $150. No, that's not what my life is worth. Turn around. Act of God says no. Huh. Amuse yourselves for a while.
Interesting.
So, call me unprofessional or call me a survivor.
How about an unprofessional survivor?
Sure, I'll take that. Well, the really professional dead guy. No one's saluting me because I'm not a colonel.
I had an interesting Saturday too.
Okay, tell me about your Sunday then.
Well, Sunday was.
Yeah, you didn't tell me that. All right.
Feeling the burn.
Are we going back in time? Will we get a Friday story as well?
Friday story? Maybe.
All right, let's just go with the Saturday story.
Saturday.
Wake up, watch some cartoons.
Well, I was invited. I was invited to a book launch via Facebook. So it wasn't like a personal invitation, but someone invited me.
Okay.
And I thought, well.
This is the second one you've been to in 2 weeks.
That's right. I went to Kathleen Gross's. She had her. Her book launch for her book last night at Wormwood High. I believe that's what it's called. I'm sorry, right. I got it wrong.
I couldn't make it. I gave you some money to get me the book.
I got you the book.
Right.
And still haven't given you the change.
That's right. The change is somewhere at home with your keys.
It's in my coat pocket. I forgot to bring the coat with me. I'm sorry. Now I'm wet. But anyway, so I thought, well, you know, I went to that. And they did pretty good, socially speaking. I talked to people, saw some people there that I knew that, you know, through this show that I knew. And I, you know, talked quite a bit and probably made them leave. And then, and so I thought, yeah, I can do this. Maybe I'm a scenester. I can fit into this whole, like, comic book scene here in Vancouver, finally. And so Lisa and I drove down. And it was at the Stormcrow Tavern on Commercial.
Oh, the Commercial one. Okay. Yeah. Because there's two now.
There is two now, but this was the Commercial one, the original. And so we went down there. We drove around looking for parking, found some parking.
Right. Parked. It's also nice because there's food there too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we walked up, and it was around 2:15 by this time. I thought, you know, I don't want to arrive too early, but this is like, okay. So went in, you know, looked around, couldn't see anybody. Walked in a bit deeper inside, looked around, saw the person whose book was being released. Mm-hmm. And I'd met him once before. But there's no way in hell that he remembered who I was. Because, you know, you meet people at stuff like that, you're just nobody, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're like, oh, have you met Dave? And they're like, hey, Dave, I'm so-and-so. And then you talk for a little bit, and they're like, they're probably like, this guy's a nice guy. And then next time you meet them, you're like, oh, he probably remembers me. No, that never happens.
That's why I frantically scribble a name down and something to remember that person by quite often when I meet people.
Okay. So, and then I looked around, there was no one there that I knew. So I was like, back up. Let's get out of here. It's just too awkward, right? Like, I can't.
Yeah, you need at least one person.
You need a person, yeah. So we went up down the road. We went for a walk.
So you went in there and just went, I've never learned to read. And then you turn around.
Well, they were busy. They were doing their thing. Okay. So they didn't, you know, they're probably just like, person looking for a table, couldn't find it, left. Or looking for a party, they weren't there and they left. So that was my role. Yeah. That's the role I played. I like looked around all around the room like, And then I looked at Lisa and I went, I guess they're not here. I guess they haven't come yet. We'll come later and see. So then we left. And
yeah.
So then we went for a walk on the road and I found this great CD store or like record store, CD store, Audiopile it's called.
Oh, so okay. Yeah.
I bought some CDs there. Speaking of, before the show started, I said something about, anyway, it doesn't matter.
That's a good story. This was the second part of fuck it.
Well, no, we were talking.
It was two fuck it segments of show. This was, it'd be funny if this whole thing led to that.
Well,
like the whole story about the book and showing up and not knowing a person. And then I went to a store fuck it.
It's because, well, you're showing me a picture of David Letterman.
Yeah.
Who no longer looks like David Letterman. Let's be honest. But what I thought was striking was the fact that he was wearing like some 30-year-old digital watch and basically a 30-year-old earphones, like headphones. Like from a sports Walkman or something like that. Like they're yellow. They have the little metal band that goes top of your head and stuff like that. Like right out of the past. And so I was like, why would he have those when he could afford nice ones that sound good? And you were like, maybe he doesn't care. Maybe that's what he likes. And I was like, no, newer and better is better. Like,
right.
And then you said, yeah, Dave, like all those records you have downstairs in a sarcastic way. And then you went, yeah, yeah, boo.
Yeah, and then I did a little dance, sarcastic dance,
a little jig. And then I said, but I have CDs as well, and nothing's improved on CDs. And I, to further reinforce that concept, I bought CDs at this store. I walked past the records.
Yeah.
Because I'm not spending $20 to $5 on a record.
Right.
When you take it out of the package, you put it onto your turntable, you put the needle onto the record for the very first time. The
drum beat goes like this.
Go ahead. For the very first time, yeah, the drum beat goes like this. You're like, how? Why is there a scratch on the record? I just took it out of the package. It already has noise. It's already making noises that I don't want to hear. I don't want to hear crackling noises. So anyway, end of rant. So I bought some CDs there. Then we went back down the
road. Could I ask what CDs you bought?
I bought Dungeon, or I don't know how to pronounce their name.
Dungeon?
They're a Swedish band.
Dungen.
D-E-G-E-N.
Oh, Dungen.
Dungen.
Yeah.
Their album has a Swedish title, and I don't know what that is either.
Fjorgesnorg?
Fjorgesnorg, exactly Dungen. Right. By Dungen.
Okay.
Fjorgesnorg by Dungen. And they are kind of a psychedelic prog band.
Okay.
And I quite enjoy it. And it's a double CD of psychedelic prog with flute playing.
Are there any prog bands from Prague?
Probably.
Okay.
I hope so, because man, that would be good.
That'd be fun to be a prog rock band, but it's Prague as in Prague.
Yeah, Prague. You're a prog rock band. People go to see it, and they're like, this isn't prog rock. They're like, no, we're from Prague. Like, oh, thanks. I got that. I got Stephen Malkmus and the Jinx, Face the Music, I think it's called. I don't know, I didn't have. I got Sparks, a Sparks album that was signed by them, by Ron and Russell Mayall. So that was kind of neat. It has a song on it called Lighten Up Morrissey. It's a good title. And then I got Wilco, and I can't remember what the album's called now, I'm sorry. But here's the thing. I've never liked Wilco in my whole life. Like, I've heard songs by them for the last however long they've been around.
Right. I know someone who knows one of the members of the band, and so I knew them from his shirts before I knew the band. Okay. Yeah.
And so I've never liked them. And then I heard this song called Theologians by them, and I really liked that song. And then I heard this song called Spiders, Kid Smoke, and I really liked that song. And they were both on the CD, and I was like, okay, well, I like those two songs, so I'm going to buy this CD. I was not disappointed. It's actually really good. And I wish I could remember what it's called. It has an egg on the cover.
That's all right. That's probably enough information for people to figure that out.
And then I found a CD of, I think I got five CDs. Oh, I got the Birds. It's called like Dr. Bird and somewhere other, or Mr. Jekyll and Dr. Bird or some kind of weird title like that.
Okay.
It's a weird album because it's strange because like when I was a kid, I thought I knew all the Birds albums. Like I didn't own them all, but I knew them all. I had like the Birds' greatest hits on record because that's what I could afford. And it had, you know, it had Mr. Tambourine Man, the next album, whatever that one's called. And it had Younger Than Yesterday and another one, 5D or Fifth Dimension. And so I was like, okay, I guess those are the records. I know them all. But it turned out those are the ones that were released up until like Greatest Hits. And so then there was more after that.
Oh, okay.
And so then I found out like about the Notorious Bird Brothers and Sweethearts of the Rodeo and Ballad of Easy Rider. But I never heard of this album for the longest time until I found it in a used record store. And I was like, why didn't I know about this record? Like, this is so weird. So yeah, it's pretty good. It's not the greatest record, but it's okay. And I got one other one. I can't remember what it was off the top of my head. I'm sorry. Oh, Tame Impala, who I'd heard about as being like this kind of psychedelic rock band from Australia. It was not psychedelic. It was like synthesizer disco music, which, no offense, but it's not really my bag.
Okay.
So I was like, listen to it. I listened to about three cuts. And then I said, Lisa, take it out.
Throw it out.
She ejected it for me. And I think I'll take it back there and see if I can, what I can get in trade. If I can get, because there are other albums that I would like more after hearing that one. But I was interested. I read about them in the Mojo and stuff, and I was like, sounds interesting. And I like a song by them called Elephant, which is an earlier version. And maybe at that time, they were doing like the guitar rock. And then he's like, now he's like, you know what? I'm out of the guitar rock thing. I'm into like keyboards and making things go woo, woo, woo. And like, you know, sorry. Ugh.
And if you'd known anyone at the book signing, you would not have gotten those
I wouldn't have found those things. So it was kind of good. So then we went back again, still no one. Didn't know anyone there. I shouldn't say that. I knew one person. Okay. Besides the guy I vaguely knew.
Yeah.
I knew this other person vaguely because I met them at Kathleen Gross's thing. And he's a friend of Brandon Graham's. He's drawn on Profit and stuff like that. Okay. Simon Roy. And you know Simon Roy? By name, okay. I've met him a couple times. But once again, there's no way he knows who I am. And I could do the classic pretend I know you thing. But why do I want to make him feel awkward? So that he's doing the totally like artificial smile, looking at me like, hey, buddy. Hey, good to see you, pal.
Nah. You can't do Dave's the Name Podcastin's the Game.
No, nah, because what is that?
Who knows? You could go, knock, knock. We're who's not there? Even... Sneaky. Ooh, Sneaky Dragon. Eh, that's what I do. Anyway, hi, I'm Dave Dedrick. Good to see you.
We're not even third best tied in town. We're like down on the list now.
So. You could go like, who's your favorite Delta? You know, what is it? Is it Tawasin? Is it Ladner? No, it's North Delta. That's what I say. Do you agree? Let's be friends.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's too bad you can't be like a kid and just go up to someone and go, hey, you want to play?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That's basically what this director, Lisa, did at the airport. She came up to me and she said, you don't know me, but I know you from Facebook. How's it going?
Okay.
And I was like, well, she knows how to do this.
I mean, that's
quite
that's,
well. Good
that's
for okay. her.
That's yeah. that's pretty good. I don't know. I
like, you don't know me.
Yeah.
But I know you, and you could say, throw a compliment their way, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you move on from there. That's fair.
I don't know.
At a signing, it's okay. Or not signing, but like at a launch.
Yeah.
It's not like he's eating dinner, and you're like, hey, Roy, they I like all, your early work.
They were all sitting behind the table as if they were like signing.
Oh, so it didn't that's feel, tough. Behind yeah. a table is a tough
there bird. You go, exactly.
A table will shut me the fuck up.
I walked away.
I will not get stuff signed for the most part.
Lisa and I walked away, and I said, you know what? I guess I'm not a scenester. Mm-hmm. I thought I was. I'm not.
I went to a Sarah Vowell reading and
kidding myself. And, Sarah Vowell.
I really liked. Yeah, I really like her stuff. And
I really like her voice.
I like her voice very much too. Looking forward to Incredibles 2 with her in it. She read her stuff and did little insults about Canada, which I always enjoy. And then she sat down to do a signing. And Pia, we had the book. And people were going up for a signing, and I went, no, I can't do that. I can't get a book signed.
Really?
It feels weird.
No, I can do that, because then you got the thing you're doing.
I know, but I don't, it's weird. It's like, I don't want to do that. Yeah. It feels very, very strange to me, and I just like, nope, I'm good. You're like, you know, I'd like to meet them as
ruins the book. I don't want a book with a bunch of writing in it.
No, when I meet somebody, I'd like to meet them to meet them and not have it have been that. Though, I don't feel anything bad about, like, if someone gets something signed for me, I don't feel bad.
I got that Kathleen Gross book she wrote in there for you.
Did you get her to sign that?
Yeah.
Ugh, gross. Not Gross. Gross.
Wrecked it,
I can't believe that you got that. You lowered yourself to that kind of thing. But
asking someone to sign? Yeah.
Yeah. No, she, and so my wife went up to her and went like, my husband's a fan, but he's scared to come up here, which makes me feel 100, like so good.
Well, that's
and
she, the
and
truth.
She said,
truth,
yeah,
though,
and
right?
She said, oh, I didn't think I was that scary. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, maybe I am. And so signed the book and there we go. We got a signed book.
Truth hurts.
And, I'm standing, you know, by the escalators, like peering over like a weirdo. I'm just like, oh, I just don't need this in my life. Listen, what? I'll see her at a book fair or something. I'll be signing stuff. She'll be signing stuff. We'll find some damn reason.
Yeah.
And I'll go, hey, how you going? And then she'll insult Canada. And I'll get all like, what?
Why does she insult Canada?
Because we were founded by agreement, not by war. And so we're boring.
That's a ridiculous argument.
Absolutely. Most well, she's having fun. She's obviously like, you know, she's poking us.
Next time I see her, I'm going to poke her.
On
right
Facebook?
In the nose.
Can you still do that?
I think you can still do it. Yep.
I had two people. No, I had like a couple were awkward. I had a couple of awkward pokings. People who are my relatives. I'm like, don't poke me. You're a relative. Yeah. Anyone don't poke me. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's just plain weird. And then like a couple people from high school, girls I knew in high school. I'm like, I don't know if this is good. What do you do? I don't know. Weird. Don't like it. Strange.
I did it when I first started on Facebook and then I quickly grew tired of it.
Did you poke both the fellas and the ladies? Were you a bi-poker?
Yeah, I was bi-poker.
You got that bi-poker disorder?
Yes, that's right. Yes. Sometimes I was really quite animated. Other times I was feeling quite low. Oops. Okay. Everybody, that was me hitting
now,
my microphone.
Now, we're doing this on Wednesday. Normally we do this on Thursday. Tomorrow I'm hanging out with my niece and nephew.
That's why I've been very, very, very... That's why I've been very substandard on this.
Because brother, I'm with you on that.
It's just we're a day off. We're a day off.
Yeah, and a dollar short. Absolutely.
Well, that's without question.
This is where we would normally be having this discussion. We would go like, "Hey, you hear about that? There, Batman v Superman's coming out," and then we'd go, "I'm not seeing it," and then we'd probably see it that night.
Is it
like
tomorrow?
A couple of hypocrites? Yeah, Friday.
Oh.
And we go see it and we go, and I'm going to put this out there and you're going to go, Ian, you're full of shite.
Okay.
Like you're Andy Cap. You're going to say it. That's not Andy Cap's voice at all. and you're going to go, Ian, you're full of shite. Punch.
Yeah. That's Miranda Kapp.
That's right. But I don't see the circumstances, unless it's mandatory, and people will just go like, look, you can't complain about it unless you see it, because you're a jerk.
That's true enough.
But I just can't see myself sitting for like 2.5 hours or whatever it is, like just under that, with ads for cars and perfume, and maybe that snowman ad. And just sitting there in a theater, watching all that. That darkness. I just can't picture myself doing it. It just feels so weird to be like, you know? I probably am going to at some point see it, but it just seems so unappealing to me. But what are your thoughts on the matter, David?
I don't really have any thoughts on it. I'm sorry, but there's a guy at work.
Are you going to see it?
You know, I will have to say time will tell. I'm not intending to. I'm not going to say I'm not going to see it. I don't want to make that mistake again.
If someone chloroforms you, drags you to the theater, you wake up in it, you're not going to go, I'm calling the police. You'll just actually just watch it.
I do not need another what the fuck moment this week. I've already had two. It's enough.
What were your what the fucks? Those ones you've already mentioned?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't want to make a big fuss about not going to see Superman versus Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Are you thinking off fuck it off moments?
Fucking, off fuck it moments.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. Now, did I say what the fuck?
Yeah. Because what the fuck is
it? I did have another fuck it moment.
Yeah, what the fuck is a very popular podcast by Mark Maron.
You're right.
Off fuck it is what we should call this. Is that because the other one was like so popular?
It's very popular.
It always amazes me that
I think nothing makes you more popular than jumping on someone else's bandwagon.
Yeah, it always amazes me that President Obama went on a show called What the Fuck.
It's true.
Yeah, no one ever mentions that when they were talking about it. So like, you know, the show is called What the Fuck, right? And also, it always amazes me when someone's on the show and go, "Is it okay to swear?" It's called What the Fuck. Yes, it's okay to swear.
They probably never hear the introduction. They've never heard the show.
So obviously, you've got a friend at or an acquaintance at work
who loves Batman.
Now, I was going to go, who's he voting for in the old fight to win? Batman.
He loves Batman. He's a huge Batman fan.
Who's his favorite Batman? Do you know? Does he talk about that?
Batman.
I understand that.
Yeah.
But there's been many Batman.
His favorite Batman. Batman.
The actual concept of Batman.
I'm Batman. I don't know who his favorite one is.
Okay.
We were talking to
Val Kilmer, probably. Most people, their favorite Batman is Val Kilmer.
If you go for a Batman, that's who you generally
choose. First name out of people's mouths is like, who's the best Batman? Val Kilmer. Yeah. Without a doubt, without a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer.
Yeah. We were talking a little bit today about the original Batman film, the Tim Burton directed.
Michael Keaton. Kim Basinger.
Jack Nicholson. And
Robert Waltz
playing Prince as well. Prince is in that film.
Doing the bat dance,
yes.
Jerry Hall.
Is Jerry Hall? Oh, that's right. She is the girlfriend who gets acid.
Killed, yeah.
Oh, is this killed? Okay.
Yeah, she gets acid and then she falls out of a window.
Oh, that's right. There you go.
Off screen. And because of that,
what do you think of that movie?
Wait, is she now with Murdoch? Is she Murdoch's wife,
right,
girlfriend?
I think you're right.
So it's not much of a difference. She's gone from the Joker to Murdoch.
Mm.
Yeah, fair enough.
Sure.
What did I think of that film?
Yeah.
At the time, I quite liked it.
Mm.
At the time, I enjoyed it a good deal. I remember it was the first incredibly long lineup I ever lined up for a movie and like got in.
Yeah.
There's times I'd line up for a movie and not get in.
Okay.
That happened. Superman 2, I remember that was the case when I was a kid.
Mm.
And the Shaggy D.A., who returned away both times. Yeah.
Shaggy D.A.
Yeah.
Classic.
It was cool. It was cool. I liked Michael Keaton a lot. I loved the scene where he's Bruce Wayne and he's taunting the Joker. And then the Joker just like, you know, ends up shooting him. But he's like, what's this guy? What's his deal? And just like him as Bruce Wayne going kind of nuts.
Yeah.
And just like, come on, let's do it. Let's do it. And I like that. Yeah.
Huh.
Was that the film or was it the next one where he's sleeps hanging upside down?
I really.
That was my least favorite part.
Okay.
Just like, boo. He doesn't sleep hanging like a bat.
Yeah.
Stop it. Knock it off. I also didn't like that he killed. That I did not care for.
Okay. Yeah, I don't remember thinking much of that film at the time. I thought it was kind of, didn't have much of a plot. It just seemed to be kind of going all over the place without any. And it turns out it was made during the writer's strike, so that they didn't had kind of a working script, but not a finished script.
What'd you think of Nicholson as a Joker?
He's okay. You know, he's kind of the Cesar Romero of the filmdom's Joker. You know, just kind of, he's just a guy, I don't want to wear the makeup, or I don't want to do that, you know.
Well, let me ask you this. Between that film and Batman Returns, what was the better film of those two?
Batman Returns. You know what? I don't remember Batman Returns.
Michelle Pfeiffer here's the thing.
Oh, wait, Michelle Pfeiffer, is that Batman Returns?
Catwoman, yeah.
You know what? I quite like that film.
Yeah,
I like
it's a better film.
Yeah.
The Penguin ain't the greatest. But the Catwoman is good, really good.
I like when she smashes a room up and then her hello there sign becomes hell here.
Hell here. That's right. I forgot that.
Yeah.
And you got like Christopher Walken as well is in there and he's hamming it up and doing his thing. Yeah, I like that film quite a bit more. And who was the Penguin's father?
Burgess Meredith?
Burgess Meredith. But his father, I'm going to give you one more clue.
Okay.
His father was the star of another Tim Burton movie you enjoyed.
So it wasn't Vincent Price.
Nope. Because Vincent Price was not the star of that movie. The actual star.
Oh.
The title character.
Who was it?
It was Paul Rubens.
Really?
Yeah. Paul Rubens is, he's hideous. Get rid of him.
That's great. I didn't know that. Well, let me just veer off this. This is an interesting topic, but I want to talk about something that's more interesting to me. Sorry. Just for a second, we'll veer off this. Which is...
All right, Dave, are you saying, aw, fuck it?
No. I'm saying, I watch
Pee Wee... Is this on your aw, fuck it list?
On Netflix. I have not seen the new season of Daredevil.
I've just finished the new season of Daredevil, and I have not seen Pee Wee.
I watched Pee Wee's Big Holiday.
Yep.
Loved it. Loved it so much. They get so much right. I mean, it's not as good as Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Let's face it. That film's pretty monumental. Right. It's hard to top that film. But
you can't go home again. Yeah.
Yeah. But you can certainly play the changes the right way, which Big Top Pee-wee didn't do.
It was a very different film.
It was a different film, but it had problems with his character as well. You know, I wanted him to have a romance and things that his character, that's not his character, right? He's the sort of weirdly...
I still like Big Top Pee-wee. I'm going to defend that one. But,
okay.
But yeah, it wasn't as good as the first one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So what makes this one cook?
Well, I think a return to the road movie, a good a return to his character. You know, this is a good characterization and lots of good gags. Like, just all the way through it, lots of good fun. It doesn't have the classic tequila moment, which would put it right over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have like the kind of Large Marge moment.
Yeah.
It has kind of an equivalent, but it's not quite as scary as Large Marge.
Does it have the All My Friends Have a Big Butt?
No, I don't remember
that. Does it have that one? Okay.
But it does have a great, funny sequence of like a good kind of long sequence. It's quite funny and it's good. It's good.
Very nice. I'm looking forward to it. Like, I remember, like, he was going to be making one film that was going to be like the original film.
Mm.
And there was one film that he was going to make that was going to be a more adult version of Pee-wee.
Okay.
And I don't know if he's still doing that one or not.
Okay.
But, yeah, when I heard that this was coming out on Netflix, it was like, oh, good. That's nice. Everyone's going to see it. That's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm of the thing now, because we've just finished watching Daredevil, and I wrote this on Facebook as well. I love the movies. I'd be fine if they just did more of this stuff, though. Boy, howdy. That's good.
Okay.
And it's just so satisfying. You just have a big chunk of it, and you're just in this world. And it's, nom, nom, nom.
I just haven't had it. Because I actually turned on the TV to watch it. I was like, maybe I'll sneak in a little Daredevil season 2 while Lisa isn't looking. And then I saw Pee-wee's Big Holiday, and I was like, oh, no, this is you got to watch this, because this is better than that.
Yeah, it was tough when we were at the Fan Expo and couldn't be watching Daredevil. We're just like, no spoilers.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say is this, that I think is connecting to our earlier thing about Batman. I think Daredevil might be my favorite Batman right now. We were watching it and we're just going like, well, that's how you do Batman.
Mm.
Well, that's Batman. That's good Batman here. You could do Batman. This is a good Batman film. It would be an excellent Batman TV show.
It's like Batman Year One. It has that kind of feel to it, if you know what I mean. Like, it's
right.
The suit is kind of different. You know, it's not really like...
Well, you haven't seen the second
armor.
Season. Here's what I'm going to say about the... like, at the end of the first season, you see the suit and go, meh. And then you see the suit this season and go, oh, they fixed it.
Oh, really?
Well, that works.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. All right. Okay. Because I was worried, like, oh, this is going to be a rough ride with a suit. I don't know if, like...
I've forgotten the suit. I've forgotten about
that. But it shows you how you can do that kind of mask. And it's like, if this was Batman, and this was a Batman movie, everyone would be going, this is the best Batman movie.
Mm.
Yeah, this is how you do it. And I know in the new Batman v Superman, I've seen in the trailer, you know, you see Batman taking out everybody and doing the flippity-dippity and bangity-bangity. And it's like, it's fine. It looks fine. It looks fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
I'll get a review of it from my workmate and
he'll like it.
Everyone know. I'm sure he'll like it. I don't know when
people that like Batman when he's really dark and broody and gritty.
That's exactly right. Like that, he's not interested in the Marvel films at all.
No, why would he be? They laugh at things. They have a good time and they relax.
Yeah, he watched Ant-Man. I said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "It was pretty good." You know, but That was about it. So I was like, wow.
He would probably like The Winter Soldier. If he likes Batman, he would like
that. I was trying to recommend that to him.
Because it's a bit darker. Mm-hmm. It's more almost like human-level superpowers.
But my wife has a complaint about those films, but I understand her complaint, which is that whenever she's watching them, it feels like she's missing part of the story of what she's watching. Like when we went to see Guardians of the Galaxy, mm-hmm. she felt like, you know, that she didn't know the story that she was watching.
No one really did, though. They just made it up, really.
Well, they did and they don't, because they have Thanos in it. They have the mentions of those things.
Yeah.
And if you don't know anything about it, which you do kind of know stuff about it, so you know.
Lightly, yeah.
And
you've seen
the other films. She hasn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when she's watching it, she's like, oh, they're talking about things I don't know what they're talking about.
But so few. Like, if you want to talk about any of the movies, well, maybe Ant-Man. You know, like the only thing about Ant-Man is when he goes to the Avengers compound, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, but if you don't know who the Avengers are, maybe it's not big a deal. But you go, it's a flying guy with guns. We fucking get that. It's fine. Yeah. But I think Guardians of the Galaxy, there's not much that really connects it to anything from the past. It's really a standalone movie with the exception of the collector going. But even then, the other movies have not mentioned this stuff, right? He's telling you this stuff for the first time, which is, oh, by the way, these other things from the movies, they're all kind of magical, and here's what they do. So even if you don't know what they are, this is the first time we're learning what they do. Mm-hmm. But I don't think there's really anything missing, except unless she's seen the Howard the Duck movie or hasn't seen that. And then she's like, who's that guy at the end?
But I'll agree with you, but I'm just saying to her, as someone who hasn't seen...
She feels she's missing out.
Yeah, she's like, well, this is not making sense to me. Like, I just never understood anything I saw, which is why she liked Deadpool more than she enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy. Because Deadpool, to her, felt like just a movie that just started from where it started, and she didn't need to know anything that was happening in it, you know.
She didn't know who the X-Men were. And
yeah,
she didn't care who Little Girl is.
Yeah, didn't care about that stuff.
And who Colossus is, and what's his deal, and why he's...
Because they don't really go into the backstory very much for those characters, or talk about...
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, now in Guardians of the Galaxy, aside from that one scene with the Collector explaining what these things are, I don't think there's really anything else in there that's connected in any way to anything. It's just, you know, guy goes into space.
I think, but when you see someone like Thanos, and it's made a kind of a big deal of him, they make kind of a big deal about him.
He's in it twice.
Exactly.
And his whole thing is just like, it's James Bond villain. He's in an evil chair and goes, go to get them.
But it's not.
And then
never resolved, right? So you feel like, oh, that was weird. Like, is that something that I don't understand that's from other films? And I'm just saying that was how she felt.
And you can say
it
to her, not really.
I have said that to her.
Yeah.
But it's too late because you already saw it.
So. Yeah. This guy, we saw his face at the end of Avengers, and that was it. That's the only thing we've seen of him. And in a cut scene that nobody understood.
Yeah.
I was like, they say to do this would be to court death. Oh, okay. And then he smiles. Oh, I get it. What? Who's that guy?
Yeah.
Who's that guy, says everybody?
Yeah.
That's Thanos. What's his deal? He's in love with death. So you're saying it's a pun on the idea of courting romantically death? Yeah. Wow, that takes a lot of explanation. I know, it sure does. Should we leave the theater? Why not? Let's go. And just leave your garbage on the floor. Aw. And that's the usher in the back going, aw, that you left your garbage on the floor.
I always throw it away.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I felt that when I saw Lord of the Rings. I was like, okay, I'm missing a lot of this. And someone would come in and it's like, that is Hallfoms of Summersauce. And like, okay. And I know Hallfoms of Summersauce in the book probably gets a chapter where they describe the fields out of Summersauce and how it was destroyed by the thing. And everyone's like, that's him. That's the guy. I can tell that the Sylvester McCoy character.
Oh, you're talking about Hobbit now.
Well, anything. Any of them. You know, there's something.
He's not even in The Hobbit. So
whatever.
I felt the same way when I saw The Hobbit film. I was like, what the hell am I watching?
Okay, yeah. So it's all that. And I'm like, I don't get it. And it's fine. And it's fine. I mean, I was the guy, again, we've gone over this before, that I thought they were going to throw the damn ring in the volcano at the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
And then we're going to move on with our fucking lives.
Oh,
and then
how I laughed.
There was going to be some kind of consequences. And when you throw the ring in, now that awakens the dragon from the thing, and now we can have that in the second movie, I just assume myself, being a person who grew up with Star Wars, we're going to blow up the Death Star at the end of this movie. We can still move on and do other things. Apparently make more Death Stars. But, you know, at least we're going to blow up the Death Stars.
Yeah.
And Star Wars will not end with us on the way to the Death Star going, it's a long journey to the Death Star. Space is vast. But friendship is true. What? Says me in the theater.
Very good.
Oh, fuck. But I'm glad you like Deadpool.
She enjoyed it quite a bit, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lot.
Yeah, it's enjoyable. And also you get to see a bridge that you know, have a big fight scene on it. And you're like, I know that bridge.
Do you enjoy that scene? Or do you find it takes you out of the film if you see
If I know
Vancouver's used a lot.
If I know the location?
Yeah. Because I find most films are good about hiding.
Maybe, because, yeah. Yeah.
Most films are good about hiding their locations, right? Like, you don't immediately look at it and go, oh, that's such and such a place. You know, like, it's disguised enough that unless you're looking, thinking, oh, this is Vancouver, right? You know, unless you're looking for it, it can kind of go past you.
It was fun back in the day when it was a new situation and you were watching, like, Tom Selleck in Runaways and you're like, oh, that's Robson Square. Neat. Yeah. But then over time, you're like, yeah, you know, Hulk's on the SkyTrain. That's neat. You know, Jason Voorhees is on the SkyTrain. That's neat. It's fun walking downtown sometimes, you know, and I'll just go, okay, let me just try and figure every place I'm walking that has been in a movie, even if just the Marvel and DC movies, and look up. This was Wilson Fisk's, tower in Daredevil when he was crossing over with the Hulk. Okay, over here, this was, and which is across the street from where the Fantastic Four were, which is also which is across the street from the Daily Planet in Smallville, which is over here. And it says, yeah, you can go through the whole thing if you want. You go, I live in comics now. I grew up loving comics, and now I live in a city where all the comics happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's
what I'm going to go downtown. Well, this is where Deadpool killed all these people. Okay, I'm going to go over here, and that's where that you know where I don't know is where the X Mansion is.
Oh, I think that's a school on Vancouver Island. It's a private school.
And do they always use the same school? Like, I know when they did the first X-Men movie, they did that in Vancouver, or they did that in BC. So when they did the second movie or the prequels, did they just keep going back to that school?
I don't know.
Or did they just use a lookalike school?
I really don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know for sure. Search me.
Okay.
If you want.
If anyone knows, please let us know. Don't just write us and tell us how mosquitoes work. Because I know you're already, I know you're typing that already. Let us know as well about the X-Men. Don't make it bad. Suck that blood out and drink it all down. Is it a mosquito or a beetle? We can't tell. So, Dave.
Yes, sir.
We're coming to the end of the show.
We are coming to the end of the show.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else I should mention. I did a post recently about internet shaming, but I will talk to you maybe about that another time.
I haven't had time to watch it, although it's Lisa mentioned about we have a book by that speaker,
yes.
John Ronson.
And I would actually like to read that book.
He has one of those interesting names that would be it's the same changing around the his first initials. It's still a real name.
What is that?
His name is John Ronson, or he could be Ron Johnson.
Oh, either way, interesting.
Yeah.
Very good, everybody.
My name is like that, too. I can be David Dedrick, or I could be David Dedrick. It doesn't work for you.
No, it wouldn't be.
Ban Eothby wouldn't be.
No, and weird. Please don't ban Eothbys.
Please don't do that.
Yes. But yeah, so we'll probably talk about that on next week's show, some of those topics. We never preview what's on the next week because we usually just make this all up.
Yes.
But, you know, I'm going to do that.
Okay.
All right. Do we have a guest next week? Is that our special guest?
We have a guest next week.
Maybe we'll bring that up with our guest.
Sure we will.
He's a very clever guest. Listen, I'm not going to tell you who the guest is, except to say that he is the favorite guest. When we talk about favorite guests,
he's
a favorite guest and also a favorite guest. Mm-hmm. He's both.
Yes.
And he's also a flavored guest. What flavor is he? We're going to invite one lucky listener to come and lick him. Find out. Anyway, that is on our next week's show.
Sounds really lucky.
Okay, you're the host, so you got to wrap this up.
I'm going to wrap this up.
All the information. Make it entertaining.
I'm going to tell you all this information because, as I said last week, we are the best at doing this.
Yep.
Best in the West.
Do you know why? Because we don't pepper our show with commercials.
We don't pepper our show with commercials. We wish we could. Frankly, we wish there were people who would sponsor our show.
Do we?
There's not.
Oh, talk to us about sponsorship then.
I wouldn't mind a little money. Pay for website and server stuff. That'd be good. But anyway.
Well, we're sponsored by Baldi's Razors. Baldi's Razors are the razors that will shave you if you're already bald.
Oh, nice.
We guarantee the smoothest shave
if
you are already bald. As bald as David Letterman is currently. Baldi's Razors, you don't need blades because you're bald. Who's fooling who? Baldi's.
Good. I'm glad that's a new sponsor, everybody. Thank you for listening to the show this week, everyone. If you would like to comment or get in touch with us, here are ways you can do it. You can go to our Facebook page, which is called Sneaky Dragon. You can go to our website, which is also called Sneaky Dragon. You can comment on those things? Bulletin boards? Note boards?
Message boards?
Cork?
Message boards?
Pin push boards?
Glory holes?
Cork boards? Glory holes. That's very nice. You can also contact us by
the good old email. The kind that you get BJs in when you're on when you're a trucker?
You can contact us, yes, by email, which is sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can go to Twitter. We are sneaky_dragon on Twitter. And then we also have a Tumblr page, which is called Sneaky Dragon. Does anyone see a theme here? All right, everybody. You're done. Okay, I have to do a solo now.
So silly. Yep.